Welcome back to Word and Table, a bi-weekly podcast on liturgy, sacrament, and the great tradition of Christian worship and why it is vital in our world today. I'm your host, Alex Wilgus, and I am here, as usual, with Father Stephen Gauthier. Welcome back, Father Stephen.
Good to be back, Alex. Good morning.
Once again, I am yearning for the days when this was a weekly podcast, as you could hear in my hesitation. We'll get back to it. But Father Stephen is the canon theologian of the Diocese of the Upper Midwest in the Anglican Church in North America. And we are coming to you today from the cathedral on a nice sunny day in Wheaton, Illinois. And it's, by the way, my mind has been cast toward Christmas this year. Advent is starting soon. We're already starting to plan special services and things at our church. And it called to mind a problem that every year when we start to plan these things is that Christmas is a very easy holiday to plan for. It always happens on December 25th. All of these dates are very fixed. But when it comes time to plan for our next big feast, Easter, every year the date of Easter is different. That means every year the start of Lent is different. Everything leading up to it is different. And it's I wanted to ask you, Stephen, why is it that Christmas is on the same day? And why does Easter move? It seems to shift around every year.
Well, that's a good point. Is the real reason Easter shifts is, remember, where does it come from? Is it's the first of the feast on the Christian calendar. And it was because Jewish Christians wanted to continue to keep the feast of Passover, but in a Christian way, understanding, as Paul said, Christ our Passover lamb has been sacrificed for us.
Okay.
Let us keep the feast. So they're saying we believe in Jesus as the Messiah, Jewish Christians, and let's celebrate this now, you know, as we do, as a special annual feast.
Right.
But remember, Jews use a lunar calendar.
Okay. I didn't know that in the first place, but it's good to know.
Let's talk about there are two different possible calendars. This is interesting. It goes back to the book of Genesis. Mm-hmm. Here's what I mean by that. Sometimes people say, you know, we say God created, let there be light. Mm-hmm. And it's only later on that we have the sun and the moon.
Right.
Created.
Right.
But one of the things, what does it say about them? He created, you know, to be signs for days and seasons.
Right.
So
right.
One of the things they're mentioned most about is that they were useful for breaking time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's specifically mentioned. He created them as signs for days and for seasons were these things. So there are different ways we can see. We have obviously the sun tells us when it's day. You know, that's our definition, you know, the day. But when we're talking about longer periods, we say, well, gee, we know, in looking at it as moderns, we'd say, well, we know that the Earth revolves around the sun, and it takes about 365 days to do that.
Right.
That's a solar calendar. So we're going to say that, and basically our seasons are based on where we are in relation to the sun.
Mm-hmm.
So we can see that. That's why spring is at a certain time, et cetera.
Sure.
It'll be a certain part of that orbit. So a solar calendar simply tries to say, let's count those days, the 365 days, and let's break out into months. We break it into 12 months. And the idea, though, each month would be basically in the same season, right? Because it's a complete revolution.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So basically, we always expect December to be winter.
Right.
If we're in the northern hemisphere, right? It's always going to be the same season.
Right.
July is always going to be summer in the northern hemisphere.
Right. So okay. The months track with the seasons.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is, we also, at the same time that we're going around the sun, something's going around us, the moon.
Right, yeah.
But we're a lot smaller, right? And the moon basically goes around, we go around the sun basically at 30 plus something days, in 12 months.
Uh-huh.
It's more like 29 days or so for the moon to go around the Earth. So see what happens? It's like having two wheels going at different rates of speed. You start them in the same place,
yeah.
But if one's going slightly faster than the other, they get out of sync.
Right.
And originally, they were in perfect sync.
Sure.
But if one's going just slightly faster than the other, what's going to happen? Imagine if you marked both with a piece of chalk. You have two wheels next to each other, okay? And you mark the top of both with a piece of chalk.
Yeah.
But one's going slightly, so at first, they're completely in jive, right? They're completely synced.
Mm-hmm.
But as one moves slightly faster than the other, a space develops.
Yeah. It's almost like, have you ever had an experience where you're sitting behind someone at a red light and your turn signals are both on and they're both blinking at exactly the same time?
Yeah.
And then you start to notice that one of them gets
slightly
off.
Oh, that's a good comparison.
And then they come back around. I don't know. That's just something I experience a lot. And for some reason, I think about.
But so here's what happens. And what happened with, Easter originally comes from Passover. The Passover, according to the scriptures, is on the 14th of the lunar month of Nisan. It's
okay.
A spring month.
Yeah.
And the trouble is, Nisan is always where it is. Mm-hmm. All right, listen, it's always where it is, but the trouble is where it is compared to the solar calendar will change.
That's going to change. Okay.
You know, so the original problem is what we call that, if we're using a solar date, is going to be different.
Okay.
Each year. It won't be it won't track. It won't be in sync.
Okay.
Now, what Jews do to keep some connection between their lunar calendar, which they still use, right, mm-hmm. and the solar calendar, because they did want their feast to be in the same season. Mm-hmm. Passover is a spring feast.
Yeah.
You want it to be in the spring. Now, if you use a pure lunar calendar, you know what happens? You go all the way around. Uh-huh. You know, Muslims do that. Muslims use a pure lunar calendar. It means all their feasts go around the seasons.
Okay.
Like Ramadan, which is the great period of fasting, I think most people have heard of.
It doesn't always fall in the same season.
It falls in different seasons.
Yeah.
It actually goes all the way around the seasons. Okay. Sometimes it's the winter, sometimes it's summer, sometimes it's in spring, sometimes it's in fall.
Yeah.
The Jews avoid this from happening by having leap months.
Okay.
They will actually put a month in occasionally to keep things roughly in balance.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. So the problem with lunar months is they won't exactly sync up. So what was, if we're, again, imagine those two wheels are the turn signals. Mm-hmm. Next year they come around roughly the same time.
But not quite.
Not quite.
Okay.
And it's going to be a different amount because the speed keep, you know, it's different rates of speed.
Yeah.
And so that's why we had the idea that, you know, we're going to have a different date for Easter each year.
Okay.
And now what happened, I should tell you, and this might make it even clearer, is originally it was tied to how Jews calculated the Passover.
Right.
At the Council of Nicaea, which is our first great ecumenical council, they said, we need a really simple way to deal with this.
Uh-huh.
So let's have a universal formula to how to calculate Easter. And here's what it was. Everyone agrees on this, by the way. All, Eastern Orthodox, Western, you know, Protestants, Roman Catholics agree that it's the formula of Nicaea is, okay, we look at, first of all, something from the solar calendar, and that's going to be the equinox.
Hmm. What's the equinox?
Okay. The equinox is, remember, as we go around the sun, some days are longer and some days are shorter,
mm-hmm.
right? So it means as we go around the sun twice during the year, there's a time where the daylight hours and the nighttime are equal.
Okay.
Equinox is Latin word for night. So equinox means half night.
Equal night. Yeah, okay.
Okay, and that occurs if we, think about it here. That would occur basically in the month of March, roughly around March 23rd, around in there somewhere astronomically. Mm-hmm. And then again in September, about the same thing, like September 23rd, around there.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a time when actually daylight and darkness would be roughly the same.
Yeah.
Okay. The opposite is something called the solstice. Mm. The solstice is when you have your shortest day of the year, which is around Christmas time, typically uh-huh. about December 21st, and your longest day of the year is in June, like around June 21st, you know, and those are called the summer solstice, the winter solstice.
Right.
So they told us, first of all, using the solar calendar, say, look for the spring equinox. So they're basically talking about sometime in later March,
mm-hmm.
okay? So you take the spring equinox and then go to the lunar calendar. And say, okay, what's the first full moon? And then take the Sunday after that, and that's Easter.
Okay.
So it's basically the Sunday following the first full moon following the spring equinox.
I see. Okay, so it's based on the sun, basically.
And the moon.
And the moon, right.
On both. Now, here's what makes you say, well, that should be really simple. It would be if we used astronomy. You see, it sounds astronomical, but let me tell you, these are the real terms. We don't actually, for this calculation, though, we don't actually use the equinox. The equinox is something scientific. We can actually tell what that is every year.
Okay.
Precisely.
But we don't actually use it.
No. It's too complicated, they thought, especially with the earlier science.
Uh-huh.
So what they did instead is said, let's take a date and simply declare it to be the equinox because it'll all be roughly about that time.
Okay. It's like, we don't want to calculate exactly what. Let's just say it's...
Good enough.
Yeah. Which day was that?
And it was March 21st.
Oh, okay.
So we actually call that Paschal equinox. That's actually the term of art.
Oh, I see.
Paschal equinox means we'll officially pretend this is the equinox, even though the real equinox might be today or could be yesterday or the day after. It's going to be roughly around here.
Got it.
So we're going to talk within a day or a few days. So we're going to call this, so they call Paschal equinox isn't the real equinox
right. That
any astronomer can look up and see. It's going to simply be the day we're going to declare to be good enough for the calculation.
Got it.
Okay.
So let's just...
And then if that weren't good enough, we did the same thing with a new moon. You can tell when it's a new moon. A new moon, by the way, is when you don't have any moon.
Right, like the opposite of a full moon.
Opposite of a full moon. Right. Like you turn off the moon, like shutting off the lights. That's full. That's right. Your new moon. And the new moon is, we can see when there's, or we can not see. Uh-huh. There's a moon. We know it's the new moon. But that would be too hard. So they said, why don't we just choose a date that would be roughly about then, the 14th day of a lunar month, approximately.
Uh-huh.
Because, again, we have leap things and things. Would approximately be new moon.
Okay.
So we're going to declare, not based on actually looking up and say, hey, it's a new moon. We're going to say, you know, we say the 14th of the lunar month ought to be basically the new moon.
Okay.
So we're going to declare victory. So we actually call that ecclesiastical. This is the actual term of art. It's called ecclesiastical new moon. So we have Paschal equinox and ecclesiastical new moon. And what they are is simply, we've chosen dates to make it easy.
These are the...
Supposedly. That's the theory.
Decided upon, yes. You know, dates. Okay.
So far, we have two problems that came up. One problem with the solar calendar, as long as we all use the same solar calendar... You know, that one, you know, March 21st is March 21st. But remember what happened in the 16th century.
Mm-hmm.
Is the Julius Caesar was great. He founded this calendar, which really worked very well. But it had problems. You know, over the centuries, things really got out of whack.
Yeah.
And so Pope Gregory decided to use the best science of the age to basically update, get a better calendar.
Okay.
It's what we all use now. It's called the Gregorian calendar.
Okay.
The trouble is, everyone said, yeah, the science is better, but he is the Pope. And this is after the Reformation or like the Eastern Orthodox. And, you know, we don't want to do something because he says so.
Yeah.
So we actually had a period where we talked about new calendar, old calendar.
I see.
You know, Catholic countries had new calendar, which is the scientific calendar we use today, and other people still use the traditional Julian, and they call that old calendar.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So for a while, what you'd have is you'd have people at different Easter that could be based on when the equinox is, using March 21st, because there's a 10-day difference.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Between old calendar and new calendar.
I see. All right.
And so that would be off as to when March 21st fell.
Okay, I see. So this is getting even more complicated.
It's not complicated enough. Okay. So what happens here is that problem was basically solved for us because virtually, including Eastern Orthodox, by the way, there are a few groups that still are called old calendarists who still use the Julian calendar, but most Orthodox, actually like Greek Orthodox, the official national church, they use the international calendar, the regular solar calendar. So that's not the reason. So you say, well, gee, if my Orthodox friends, I know that, like this year, Easter is different for Orthodox than it is for Western Christians. Now, I know that they have Christmas, their December 25th is our December 25th. They use the same solar calendar, Gregorian.
Right.
How come they have a different Easter?
Yeah, why?
Well, the trouble is, we all agree now. You know, there are some Orthodox who don't, but most Orthodox agree on the modern calendar.
Uh-huh.
The problem is, remember, what's the formula? It's the first full moon following the spring equinox. First full moon is based on ecclesiastical full moon. Well, people use different lunar calculations as to when the lunar months begin and things. So the lunar months aren't in sync.
Oh, great.
And so that's the old... Now, sometimes Eastern Orthodox get it wrong. And actually, one of their websites, I love this, described it as an Orthodox urban legend. Because sometimes good Orthodox Christians, who this is complicated stuff, they've gotten the idea that the reason our Easter, seeing the Orthodox Easter, they would say, is different is because we are tied to the Jewish Passover. But that's not true.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it doesn't.
Again, the Orthodox themselves, I mean, the clergy describe it as an urban legend. It's not true. We all use the Nicene formula.
Right.
The only reason it's different is we use different tables to come up with our lunar months.
Oh, I see.
So the 14th of the lunar month is different in the east and the west because it's ecclesiastical lunar months.
Yeah.
And we just use different tables.
Okay.
That's why.
I see. Okay. So that's the long answer for why it's difficult to plan for Easter.
It's funny, you know, Japanese Christians, there's a lot of people now because of silence and things are now aware of the fact that there was once a very thriving Japanese church that was stamped out. And when it was stamped out thoroughly, some Japanese maintained faith. They were actually rediscovered in the 19th century.
When the country opened up.
But they were there. They were still there, underground.
Uh-huh.
And when you read about that, I once read a fascinating book about these people, how they'd survived. But one of the key things they wanted to do is have somebody who could calculate Easter.
Uh-huh.
So that was one of the key roles in the community. Wow. It was one of their great treasures, was somebody who would actually know how to do this. As you know, in our Book of Common Prayer, we actually always have a tables and rules for finding Easter, and we have something called How to Find the Golden Number. You actually get a chart.
Okay.
It's really very practical. So you have this chart you can use, again, so how to find the golden number.
Okay. So if you ever find yourself without, you know, your cell phone or your smartwatch telling you what day it is.
You just go into your Book of Common Prayer, and there it is.
You can at least find Easter. Perfect. Oh, okay. Got it. It just in case you get cut off.
Cut off of the internet. If your internet's down, you can always get the right date. One last thing I think that might be interesting to our listeners is, couldn't we make this easier? And actually, the Roman Catholic Church at the Second Vatican Council went on record saying, we think it'd be great if we all celebrate Easter at an easy time, too, like the same Sunday. Remember, like in Thanksgiving, it's always easy. We always know it's the third Sunday of November.
Third
Thursday. I'm getting Easter thoughts. Mm-hmm. Okay, third Thursday.
Right.
But everyone can do that, right? You can look at any calendar and just look for the third Thursday.
Right.
They say they're willing to do something like that with Easter. For us simply all to choose, if all Christians agreed, basically, if the Eastern Orthodox and the main West, you know, the Anglicans and the Roman Catholics, if we all could agree on this there, they say, we're willing to do it. We think it would be better. There's nothing per se that would require us religiously to use.
Sure,
We could make an adjustment. But again, I would personally think it's unlikely this would happen because since the actual formula comes from Nicaea, it's very hard for me to imagine that we could get everyone in the Eastern Orthodox Church to agree to change something from the Council of Nicaea.
Right, right. Yeah, I see. There's a lot of history there. Okay, so a lot of astronomy plus a lot of church history has resulted in this.
Yes, indeed.
All right, so I get how the date gets off with Easter. So why doesn't that happen with Christmas? So, how is it that Christmas is fixed, but Easter moves around?
Great question, because the only reason we'd ever go through this exercise is because Passover comes to us from the Old Testament mm-hmm. with a lunar calendar.
Right.
We had never gone down the lunar route. We use a solar calendar. We don't use a lunar calendar.
Yeah.
So everything else that wasn't tied to that. Now, all the feasts that are tied, for example, 40 days after Easter is Ascension, right? The scriptures tell us Christ rose 40. Mm-hmm. Pentecost is 50 days. Pentecost, right? It's the 50th day after. So we couldn't change that. Those are movable because that's the trouble when you use a lunar calendar.
Okay.
But we said we don't. We're solar guys. We're not lunar guys.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So we're saying anything we do on our own, we're just going to use a solar calendar. So everything else is on a solar calendar. The only reason we have anything that's movable is things tied to Easter. And why is Easter moved? Because it was tied to Passover, which is lunar.
I see.
So it's sort of like the question, you know, saying, choose, do you want a solar calendar or a lunar calendar? And the church's answer has been, yes, we do both.
It's like the incarnation. Is he God or is he man? Yes.
Yes. That's right. Distinct but inseparable.
Well, great. Well, thanks, Father Stephen. That's all the time we have for this episode. And thank you for listening to Word and Table. We will be back in 2 weeks for more on liturgy, sacraments, and the great tradition of Christian worship. Thanks for listening.